Israel, our blessed people, as we begin to wind down now. So tonight we have seen some very, very important instruction from the Lord. The Lord saying that he expects every Christian believer to be aware that from the moment they get the free grace of Jesus, they have been called. From that moment on, they have been called. From the moment that you become born again and get the free grace, the gift of salvation, the grace of Jesus, you have been called from that moment on. And the Lord expects that you reach out for him. And what has come out very clearly is the rearranging of the ranking in the church. In the house of the Lord now, you can see the people the Lord treasures most are the evangelists, these young men, the university students. But every single weekend you see they are walking with backpack. They are crossing. They are saying, this week we are handling Madar Islam. We are handling Section 5 with handbills in their hands, going door to door. And they leave very early in the morning. And they come back late in the evening. They have not drunk a thing. And you ask him, where were you today? He says, today we were covering phase 5. And it was a lot of work. We blessed the Lord. Many people received the Lord. And we gave them direction to the church. And tomorrow I want to wake up early because phase 6 is bigger. We have agreed that we should be there. I have a problem now. I need to talk to my pastor to get me more handbills. I'm running low on handbills. But I don't know whether my pastor is able to give me at least 2,000 handbills. I want to approach him when he has enough, he has something to give to me. Let me see if I can call him tomorrow to photocopy for me the following handbills, and then I have to leave in the morning. So now you understand the Lord's ranking in the house of the Lord. Those who labor for the Lord, the young men and women, normally they are students, who go every weekend door to door. Sometimes people chase them away. Sometimes they speak bad words to them. Sometimes they abuse them. Sometimes they pour water with fragments of ugali on them. And then you see him cleaning his trousers like this, saying, it's okay, thank you, thank you. He just walks away without looking back. And he tries the next door, speaking to the lady there, saying, I want to talk to you about Jesus. He says, don't bring those things here, because my husband recently chased a Jehovah's Witness here. So, you know, they rank in the same class as Jehovah's Witness. And they tell you, just get away. If you, can I leave you the handbill, though? No, if you leave it here, my husband will tear it. So you, sometimes they have passed through things. They have heard the unbelievable. Some of them wake up very early. They go on Saturday to visit prisons there, cook for them and preach to them and come back, like the church in Bomet under Senior Deputy Bishop Nerechi. They have taken on a whole entire wing of prisons. They are taking care of them, cooking for them, taking them toilet tissue, soap. They have their children there. Those women in prison have children. So they are ministering to them. They are preaching to them. So now you understand how the Lord values evangelists, people that go out on crusades. Every time, quickly, instruments, they are doing crusade. People like Philip of Konain, Bishop, Senior Bishop Philip, every day crusade and winning souls, baptizing people. He has built a pool for it. The Lord is saying that for you to enter into God's rest, you must labor for the Lord. This is what the word says. Forget about what your preachers tell you in America. They say, no. When you receive the grace, it's free. Sit down and relax. You will now enter. The Lord says, those that labor for him enter God's rest. Look at what he says here. And that laboring is persecution, rejection for the sake of Jesus, torture, animosity, hostility, a miserable life because of Jesus, fired from work, living in total misery, great pain, ruthless treatment by people, being in serious trouble, bitter life, subjected to cruelty, broken spirit all the time, great suffering, kashem meod in his rich. So this is serious. So if you look at the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 7, it says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the one who is victorious. In other words, the one who labors until he overcomes. He defeats the enemy. He labors until he is triumphant. The one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That is where God's rest is. He says God's rest is in paradise. And the Lord says, you must travail. You must overcome the suffering, the persecution, rejection, torture, animosity, bitter life, misery, to be able to overcome all those assaults of the devil and then now be glorified for entry into God's eternal rest. Even the Lord Jehovah Yahweh himself, my friend, himself, he had to labor for 6 days creating, and then on the seventh day he entered into God's rest. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, it says, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. And remember, at this time, there's big persecution. Chapter 13 has passed. So for you to be born again, there is rejection, persecution, suffering. And then he says, yes, the Spirit, yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor. So you see, you enter into God's rest because you are resting from your labor. You have been laboring for God, so you enter into God's rest because it's a rest from your labor, laboring for God. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Did you hear that? For their deeds will follow them. Not their deeds will go ahead of them, because salvation is a free gift. So as you are entering, your deeds will follow you into heaven for you to receive rewards. For their deeds will follow them. That is tremendous, blessed people. The Lord saying, he has prepared paradise for you. He has prepared heaven where you will fellowship with God during God's rest. You will fellowship with other people, other saints, the saints of the Old Testament, with Jesus. That is where God's rest is. You learn, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. There is more learning there. Revelation 21, we can read together. God's rest. Revelation 21, verse 68, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I'll give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit this entire new heaven, new earth, and new city of Jerusalem. And I'll be their God and they'll be my children. So there is fellowshipping with God. In verse 4 it says, he will wipe out every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So they are, it's a life of maximum joy. Verse 6 we just read, maximum joy. A life of God's rest. It's a life of service to God in glory now, where there's no getting tired. You have a new body, but never tired. It's a glorious life. If you look at Matthew chapter 8, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, it says, Matthew 8:11, it says the following, I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. meaning there is celebration services there. There's dining there, enjoying cuisines, having a feast, a celebration service, where you sit, and those bodies are special bodies. You want to deal, you won't deal with weight. You won't say, oh, I fear I have weight problem. Oh, I have obesity. It's a glorious life, a life full of joy unspeakable. A life of God's right, service to God, a life of non-stop worship, sweetest worship in heaven. A life of sweetest worship in the kingdom of God in heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, it says, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all that are in them, saying to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Same thing in Revelation chapter 7. There will be wonderful, sweetest worship. It's a life in paradise. Entering God's rest is essentially a life in paradise. The same paradise God had shut out the church from in Genesis chapter 3, 23, 24. But now, when the church has labored for the Lord, listen to what it says, Luke 23, 43. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It's a life in paradise. Paradise is the highest state of blessedness, the highest state of joy, the highest state of life, the highest state of fellowship, the highest state of affluence and opulence and peace. It's indescribable, blessed people. Entering into God's rest is awesome. Joy unspeakable. Learning and having full knowledge. Living a life of total holiness. While for those that do not labor for the Lord now, those that do not labor for the Lord at this time, the book of Revelation 14, verse 11, and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and there will be no rest day or night. There will be no rest or day or night for those who worship the beast and its image. For anyone who receives his mark, the mark of his name. So while we enter, while you will enter into God's rest, those that choose holiness now, righteousness, the ones that refuse, they're in the church, and they refuse to take repentance, they refuse to listen to the voice of God that has called the cloud, they refuse to be holy, they will enter into unrest forever. For you, you enter into God's rest eternally. For them, they enter into unrest eternally. There will be no resting for them. Revelation 14:11. Because the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. And there will be no rest for them day or night. No rest, no holiday for them. This is serious, blessed people. For you, you will enter into God's rest, into the rapture of the church. If you look at the book of John chapter 3, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, it says the following. John chapter 3, 16 and 18, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Look at verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. There are two people there. Those that believe, they enter into God's rest. Believing means accepting the gospel, repenting, receiving Jesus, and walking in holiness. Holiness throughout. And not believing means refusing Jesus or accepting him and backsliding. What we saw in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 21. Those who don't believe Jesus, don't believe in Jesus, they are both outside the church and inside the church. In Matthew 13, verse 21, he said very clearly here. He says, but since they have no root, they last only a short while. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word of God, they quickly fall away. The seed, verse 22, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word of God, then the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of the world choke the word, making it unfruitful. So those that don't believe, those that will go into unrest eternally, they include those in the church who have not believed the message of holiness. Because they have taken the word, but the root has not grown. They have no root for the word inside their heart. The word has not gone into its roots and developed, grown its roots into their hearts and soul. Their souls are totally not convinced enough that it is sinful, that it is guilty, that it has depravity. They are not yet convinced enough by the gospel that they have sin in their lives, that they have guilt and depravity and wickedness and evil. The fallow soil, the soil fallow on the ground, the fallow ground in their soul, of their soul, is not properly plowed by the gospel. It has not been well plowed by the gospel. So the gospel seed did not grow. Their hearts became impacted, rocky, hardened soul. And so the splitting of the rock did not take place by the gospel onto their hearts. You still have a rock. When persecution time arrives, he abandons Jesus. They abandon him. They abandon the true doctrine. They go to other doctrines. They fill the churches all over USA with prosperity gospel, prosperity. They abandon the true doctrine of repentance and holiness and righteousness and persecution and separation. They do not realize that only the salvation of repentance and holiness is the only remedy for their sick soul, for their sick heart. They don't. They crowd themselves with preachers preaching the word, eating to their flesh. Another gospel. Prosperity, the things of the world. They are happy with that. And yet the true gospel says that there is persecution. That you must travail for God. You must labor for God. Labor for the Lord Jesus. Then you enter God's rest. You must be holy. Without holiness, nobody will enter the kingdom of God. Nobody will see the Lord. They still think that there is another remedy for a sick soul. Their Christianity is a shallow Christianity. Their hearts remain virtually unchanged. They have no deep conviction to sin. They are offended by persecution. They fear to be maimed or to lose goods. They fear that when persecution comes and they remain standing, they will lose their friends, they will lose some goods, the goods of this world, or they will lose, they will be maimed. They will lose their health or wealth. This is serious. So the Lord is calling out. He says, those that believe, they will enter into the righteousness of God as they walk on this earth. They will hear the prophecies from God sending his prophet, saying the Messiah is coming, and they will transform, change their lives, be holier, more righteous, more repentant, more right standing with God, above board, with integrity, beyond reproach of this world. And they will be glorified and enter heaven. But those who are rebellious and apostate will not enter. Will not enter. For you will enter the rest, God's rest, because of your holiness. and the Holy Spirit convicted you to sin, and you chose righteousness, holiness. But for them, they chose the pleasures of this world. They lived a shallow Christian life full of prosperity. You see it in America. The American standard version of Christianity. The European standard version of Christianity. The Nigerian standard version of Christianity. The Kenyan, the Tanzanian, South African, the Lilongwe, Malawian standard version of the Australian standard version, Asian standard, American standard version of Christianity being spewed on global TV. They are preached, they are spewing apostasy globally. They have not realized that it is only the salvation of repentance and holiness that is the only remedy for sick heart that has delivering power. They still think there is another way through prosperity, through the goods of this earth. Their soul is not convinced enough of its sinfulness, of its guilt, of its depravity, of its wickedness. The fallow soil of their soul has not been properly tilled by the gospel. Because they received the shallow gospel, they remained there. And yet the Lord is saying in Hebrews chapter 9 that everyone, unto every person, there is an appointment with death. Hebrews chapter 9, 27. You either prepare according to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, blessed people, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 3. He says, if the clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. In other words, in Hebrews chapter 9, when he says, every person has an appointment with death. If you are failed, if you die holy on that day, you enter God's rest. If you die unholy, you enter hell, which is eternal unrest. There is no rest there, eternally. If you look at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, Lazarus and the rich man, the one that believed the gospel of repentance and holiness and believed the prophet, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus himself in red raises the authority of the prophets of Yahweh in determining the eternity of the church, his own church, the church of Jesus Christ. Luke 16, he says, no, they have the prophets there. Even if somebody resurrects from the dead and goes to them, if they don't believe the prophets of Yahweh, they cannot enter heaven. They will not even believe someone that resurrects and goes to them. If they cannot believe the prophets of Yahweh, they cannot enter heaven. Jesus raises the authority and the mandate of the prophets of Jehovah Yahweh in Luke chapter 16, 19 to 31. And you see that those that believe the prophets of Yahweh, they enter into eternal rest, God's rest in heaven, in the New Jerusalem. And those that do not believe the prophets of Yahweh, they go into eternal no rest, unrest. Eternally they have no rest. Luke 16, 19 to 31. Jesus himself, it's in red. He hands over the entire church he died for to the prophets of Yahweh. Because he says, they have the prophets down there. Let them believe the prophets of Yahweh. I believe you. I truly I say unto you, if they cannot believe the prophets, they cannot. Even if somebody resurrects, they cannot. The time came when the beggar died. Luke 16 from verse 22. And the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip his finger, to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime, you received your good thing, while Lazarus received bad things. That is the laboring for Christ, the persecution, the suffering, rejection, torture, animosity, cruelty, bitter lives, broken spirit, kashemeot, misery. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a big risk that is in place, set in place so that whoever, those who want to come, those who want to go from here to you cannot. Nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Verse 29, Luke 16. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets there. Let them listen to them. Not for Abraham, but if someone from the dead resurrects and goes to them, they will repent. Abraham replied that one. He said to him, if they cannot listen to Moses and the prophets, if they cannot listen to Moses, he has already called the cloud down there. If they cannot listen to the prophets, they have already opened heaven and called rain from heaven, and gold has poured and crystals from heaven. They have already resurrected the dead. They have already raised cripples. They have already opened Lima, Peru, rain has fallen. They have done Menengai 4 already there. If they cannot listen to the prophets of Yahweh, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. They will not. They will not be convinced even if somebody rises from the dead. He says, those who believe the prophets in the prophets of Yahweh on that day, because now they listen to the instruction of God, they obey the instruction of God, they obey holiness, they are alerted about the time, they become... sensitive to sin. On that day they are glorified, and they enter into God's rest eternally. The New Jerusalem, the mansion, the celebration, the wedding feast of the Lamb. They will sit and eat at the dinner table with Jesus, with Abraham, with Isaac, with the prophets of Yahweh. But those that don't believe the prophets of Yahweh, they will have no rest eternally. The smoke of their torment will rise forever. No rest, no night, no holiday, no weekend. This is serious. So if you die in the Lord, those who die in the Lord, they enter eternal rest. They go to heaven and enter God's paradise. But John chapter 8, 24. John 8, 24 says, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will indeed die in your sins. But those that die in their sins, whether they are born again or not, and they die in their sins, they go into eternal unrest. Eternal fire where there is no rest eternally. So those who want to receive the Lord, blessed people, repeat this prayer. Say, mighty Lord Jesus, I long to enter into the eternal rest of God. Into God's rest in heaven. Into the mansions you prepared for the church in the New Jerusalem. And therefore today I repent and turn away from all sin, my Lord Jesus. And I receive you in my heart today, my Lord Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Please focus me onto the eternal glorification that you have promised the church. You came on your own, by your own, you yourself. On your own, by your own, you yourself. October 18th. 2021, and you promised the church that on the day of rapture, you would glorify us to enter eternal rest, God's rest of eternal celebration, eternal wedding feast of the Lamb. So Lord, prepare me in holiness. Cause me and teach me to reject sin, to have zero tolerance to sin. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm born again. Thank you. The Lord bless you indeed. Thank you.